Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Gregory Keene turns the next page on the dossier on Demetrius.
There were 42 hours to go when, out of the blue completely, I discovered the true identity of Demetrius. At first I was staggered. It simply wasn't possible. And then it was obvious. It had stared us all in the face for week after week, and not one of us could see it. But it was like the solution to so many puzzles. When you finally knew the answer, you could recognize 100 things pointing to it. So there we were. There was only one secret left. Where was he hiding now? Little by little he'd come to pieces, his plans, his associates, his ambitions. All we had to do now was to capture him. This man who would always be Demetrius to me.
It's extraordinary, quite extraordinary. But there's one thing still to be settled. Is the other fellow Demetrius, or did Demetrius become the other fellow?
I say it's immaterial. One bullet will settle him just as effectively, whichever way it goes.
But it's a significant point if we want to reconstruct his background and his past.
Well, I say he's always been Demetrius and took his other identity when it suited him.
Why?
You mean, why did he take it, or why do I say so?
Why do you say so?
Look here, Colonel. The Quai d'Orsay in Paris 6 weeks ago sent us this extract from one of their files. A figure variously identified as Delahaye, Merling, Bush, Sebastian, and rumored Demetrius was almost certainly involved in the murder of Stavisky after the frauds of 1936. There, you see, 1936, all those years ago, yet there's the first recorded mention of Demetrius.
I think you're wrong. He couldn't have been Demetrius, and Delahaye, Merling, Bush, Sebastian, all the rest of them as well. And if he weren't those others, why should he have been Demetrius?
Aren't we splitting hairs over a name?
No, because I think he is truly, born and bred, the fellow whose identity you've just stumbled on.
Could be. Only he knows that.
He, and probably Hady Bergman. You remember why we sent Fido Barker to Berlin?
Yes.
Look here, old man. Do steel yourself for when it comes.
When what comes?
When we go to take them. They'll fight, you know. And they've the girl with them. You can guess the outcome, can't you?
I know the outcome, sir.
Yet you still want to be in at the kill?
I want to face her. Just once more.
I can't quite see you're getting the chance.
I'll make the chance, Colonel.
Make up your mind to it, old man. When you next set eyes on Hady Bergman, hers will be closed. It stands to reason. They've cut a swathe through London. They kill people like wild animals among sheep. They've that German concentration camp mark on them. They murder casually as though it were a mild but not very interesting jest. Just look back. The Dupont woman whose body we've never found. Those two Poles, Werfel and Gonski.
Why will Hades' eyes be closed next time I see her?
Now, let me talk. There were the two Poles fished out of the river. There was Eustace Manandet, put to death without a shred of mercy. And then the constables at that roadblock in Norfolk. The attendant in the storage depot in Shaftesbury Avenue.
All right, all right, they're wild animals. Why will Hades' eyes be closed?
You always said you wouldn't take Demetrius alive yourself.
But he'd be alive when I got to him.
But you'd better read this, old chap. It's a directive from on high.
About what?
About the capture of Demetrius and any person known to be associated with him. Go on, read it.
Addressed to you. Mm-hmm. It has been decided by this authority that this man cannot reasonably be expected to give himself up alive. He and his associates will almost certainly offer stiff resistance, and so to avoid losing more lives in addition to those already lost in the efforts to apprehend Demetrius, no attempt will be made to effect an arrest. If he is cornered, one demand for surrender will be made. If this is refused, strong measures will be taken to dispose of him then and there, regardless of the fate of his accomplices.
Strong measures, Keane. You know what that means.
Tear gas?
No. Grenades. Do the thing like a military operation. Get rid of them all like vermin.
It's a unique situation for state-owned London, isn't it?
No. You wouldn't remember Peter the Painter and the Sydney Street affair. If I remember rightly, that was back in 1910. Peter the Painter and some other fellows, Poles, by the way, went to ground in a house in Houndsditch. The house was at the end of a cul-de-sac, and so built that it was quite a fort. Peter the Painter and his friends were well armed with truckloads of ammunition. After the Sydney Street siege had gone on for 12 or 15 hours, with I forget how many casualties to the police, you know what they did?
What?
They set fire to the house and let Peter and his gang burn to death inside.
And this directive says one demand to surrender, then take strong measures regardless. Do you mean to say that...
They set fire to Peter the Painter's house and let them all burn. It's not fiction, Keane. It's a matter of historical fact. You can look it up any day.
With Hady inside. Oh, no, Colonel,
you can see the writing on the wall, old chap. The commissioners at the yard, their own top authority, are obviously saying the same thing. Now, I ask you, Keane, when they're finally trapped, how do you suggest we should separate the sheep from the goats? I'm sorry, old chap. I've had that memo from the Home Office for 12 hours. I didn't show it to you before.
Hady has to make one last effort, either to escape from them or to get word to me.
Quite right. It's her only chance now, Keane.
She's tried twice before. Once with Manley, once with the storage attendant. She has to try again, and she has to pull it off. If she wants to stay alive when we find the last rat hole of Eumetrius.
Well? Answer me, Country. What do they say? Stop that whistling and answer me.
A little louder, please, Hady. I can't hear you.
Tell me, is Gregory Keane alive? Did he blow himself up with that trunk full of explosive, or didn't he?
If he did, my dear, the London papers disregarded some very intriguing news. You'd think they'd report a man blowing himself to bits in a block of Mayfair flats, wouldn't you?
There's nothing about it in any paper.
Not a word.
Oh. That's at least one source of suspense out of the way.
You're relieved?
I'm merely glad to know, one way or another. Is that so unreasonable?
It scarcely justifies your bad temper.
Well, what do you expect? Our lives hang on a thread. We've done so much in England and accomplished nothing. Not once have you really got the best of Gregory Keane. Always we were on the point of leaving with the loot, escaping to South America to live in peace. I told you that loot was cursed. Cursed with their blood and lives spent on it. You thought you could murder your way to it, and you were wrong. It was in your hands at Rubenstein's gallery, so you
could have... If there's one thing I will not endure, it's people being wise after the event. We've been dogged by the vilest luck. I make no excuses. I never have. And we have no room for faint hearts now, so be quiet.
I will not be quiet. You've taken my life just as surely as you took Zanahoff's at the aerodrome 6 hours ago.
Be quiet! My career started with the Affaire Stavisky in France years and years ago. This isn't the first time fortune's frowned on me or the people I represent. We will not die here, Hady. I promise you that.
As you promised half the loot to Rubenstein. Or payment to Werfel and Gonski. Or their share to Yossi Blum and Tony Mazzotti. Are those the kind of promises you're making me?
You and I have always stood alone, Hady. Do you remember when we met in Berlin?
Will I ever forget it?
Do you remember the body we left under the rubble of the Augartenstrasse? The flight on the plane I made as Carl Alexis Scammell?
Of course I remember. The memory eats into my brain and corrodes me. Because it was then I took the steps I could never retrace.
Since you can never retrace them, I suggest you bear this present interlude with good grace. You know why we're remaining here, don't you?
To kill Gregory Keane.
Yes, to kill Keane. That is the only unfinished business we still have in London.
It means nothing to you. Keane is only the instrument
Keane is more than the instrument of MI5. If I represent one side of the medal, Hady, Keane to me represents the other. We don't leave London while he's alive. And whether you like it or not, you are the lure we're going to use to destroy him.
Kurtz, You've a good deal of time for Major Keene personally, haven't you?
That's right, Colonel Fentress.
Well, I'm pretty well satisfied that it's only a matter of hours now, and we'll have Demetrius cornered. You've seen that order that went round about Demetrius?
Yes, sir. When the time comes, we don't try too hard to arrest him.
Or any of the people he has with him. And they're likely to be Yachty Bloom and Hedy Bergner.
I know all that, sir.
Well, Kurtz, I have a good deal of time for Gregory Keene, too, personally. You see what I'm driving at?
Major Keene's going to hop in and try to get Hedy Bergner out before it's too late. When we finally corner Demetrius.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to see Keene throw his life away. For Hedy Bergner or anyone else.
What do you want me to do?
Keep Keene out of the way when we go to destroy Demetrius. If necessary, by force. You got that, Kurtz. Now I'm charging you with it. It will be your own responsibility.
Let me tell you something, Colonel. I made up my mind to do just that long ago.
Even then, not one of us could foresee the way in which the dossier on Demetrius would close. Demetrius was planning to use Hedy in a way she didn't dream of. Hedy was waiting her opportunity to betray him. Colonel Fentress and Tom Cutts thought they were keeping me out of the final scene. At that time, there were 39 hours to go.
The next move. Listen for the next chapter in this story of suspense. Dossier on Demetrius.